He has breakdanced and skateboarded on some of the most memorable commercials, music videos, and magazines of the late 80s. He stage dived during LA's punk rock scene. Hip hop, skateboarding, punk rock. He makes it look so easy. Who is he?
Oh yeah!
He's the Kool-Aid man. He's the guy in the suit. That's him in a Mountain Dew commercial. He even made Clint Eastwood's day.
Man's got to know his limitations.
His name is Kevin Foster. Understanding his limitations, Kevin moved to Liberia, West Africa, and lived with a missionary doctor and his family. While in Africa, he attended a Bible college. Kevin returned to the United States to study medicine. That was temporarily halted by a brain tumor. He also overcame a battle with lymphoma. Kevin studied at USC Keck School of Medicine and is now a board-certified physician assistant and a nurse practitioner. He has written a book that describes a soul on a journey. If you enjoyed watching Kevin's exploits, you'll be blessed by reading his new book. Read The Gospel According to Ruth, A Season of Harvest. 121 Days of Devotion. It will change your life.
Welcome to Mama Joyce's Messages of Hope, where each week you will find yourself feeling loved, inspired, and encouraged in your life. Mama Joyce's Messages of Hope will place a smile on your face and warm the cockles of your heart. Tune in each week, Saturday evenings at 7 p.m. Pacific Time on Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you for coming to the show tonight. All of you are listening live and in the archives. Glad to have you. And we have a wonderful interview tonight with the infamous Kevin Foster. And he's on the line with us tonight. Kevin, are you there?
I'm here, Mama Joyce. How are you this evening?
Wonderful. Thank you so much for coming on the show. You know, Kevin, there's so many people out there who need the message of hope that you can share with them. And I love the intro, and I love some of the things that you've been through that they've touched on the intro for the show. And I'm just so blessed to have you on. I wanted to ask you, give us a little background on how God tugged on your heartstring to teach and preach and be a living example of His love and His truth.
Well, I was saved around the ages of 8, 9, or 10. I can't recall the exact age, but God saved me as a youth, and I knew every day, every year, every week, after that, my life was different. But growing up, there was challenges in my life. My mother was divorced, and we didn't come from a lot, and so it was a really difficult time. But overall, I knew God was in my life, and as the years would go by, He would direct me to these wonderful Bible study teachers in my community, in my local churches, and I would go to these youth groups and evening Bible studies, and I really started to dive into the Word of God and to learn about His love for me, and that really helped me go through the teenage years and some rocky roads, and then into the high school years. But during all that time, I knew I had Jesus in me, and I knew I was a different person than everyone else. I just knew it. It was a still, small voice within me that was telling me, Kevin, you're different, and you must live different. You have to be an example. And so I kept that with me throughout my life. And here I am today talking to you, another different soul touched by God.
That's wonderful, Kevin. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. Now, I understand also that you did some work, ministry work in Africa. Is that correct?
Yes. It was about 1985, 86. I moved over to Liberia, West Africa, to live with a medical doctor named Dr. Herman Wright. And at that point, I wasn't into medicine at all. I was just a break dancer. I'm sure you'll touch on that later on in the show. And skateboarding during the time I met Dr. Wright. And Dr. Wright was instrumental in my life. You see, I was at a point, I was about 22 or 23 years old, and I went to one of my aunties, and I had a question about the Bible. And she said I couldn't answer that. She couldn't answer that for me. So she told me to go seek out a man named Dr. Wright. So I went to Dr. Wright. He lived in the community where I lived. And Dr. Wright, he asked me point blank, have you ever read through the Bible, young man? And I told him, no. And then he slammed his foot on the ground and slammed his hand on the table and pointed at me. And at the top of his voice, he said, thou shalt not live by bread alone, but out of every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. If you want to know God, you got to know his word. And if you don't know his word, you don't know God. Don't fool yourself, boy.
Wow. That's,
you know,
awesome.
Those words were revolutionary to me. And I'm telling you, a month after that, he went to Liberia, West Africa with his family. And about 6 months later, I was in Liberia because I said, I got to hang out with this guy. And he was teaching the Bible unlike any teacher I've ever sat under.
Wow.
And God would bring revelations. He'd open up the scripture and it would be just a light came on. And I go, wow, how did he see that in this word? And so I spent about 4 months with Dr. Wright in Liberia. Then I came back to the United States. And then 8 months later, I went back to Liberia with a friend of mine, and we lived at a Bible college in Liberia that called UKIPA, way up at UKIPA. It's northern Liberia. And I stayed there for a semester. We took the film Pilgrim's Progress over there, mm-hmm. and another film about the life of Jesus. And we teamed up with the Bible students, and we would go to these little communities and show these Jesus films and Pilgrim's Progress to these local communities. And it was a wonderful, wonderful experience. And I came back home, and I started right into school.
Oh, that is fantastic. Wow.
Yes.
And you had a lot of revelation knowledge from that, too, that God quickened to you through the Word, which is awesome, Kevin.
Thank you, thank you. You know, God doesn't waste anything. And I tell you, if you seek, he said he'll show himself if you seek him with your whole heart. And that's what I want to do. And there's obstacles. There's always going to be obstacles in our lives. You know, you set aside time to wake up early in the morning and to spend time reading through the scriptures, even if it's a couple of verses, and you're sitting there, you're meditating on them. The Lord may lead you to another scripture that ties into what scripture you're meditating on. You may write a little note or something. All of a sudden, the phone rings, or the children wake up, or there's an earthquake. You never know, but something's trying to impede your time with God.
Right.
Then it all gets quiet, and then a thought will come in your mind. A thought that has nothing to do with living godliness, right? But those things are obstacles to keep us out of the Word of God. The Bible says the Word of God is quick and powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. So if we don't have access to this Bible by meditating on it and reading it, then we're weak. We don't have power like
Amen.
We ought to. Yeah.
That's right. That's right. That's an excellent point. And, you know, the devil will, the enemy, you know, some people call him, will find all kinds of distractions to try to, you know, take you away from what God wants you to do. But that's where trust comes in, you know, and being patient and waiting, you know, because God has a perfect time and a perfect way to do everything. And he does, it's like it says in Romans 8:28, he works everything together for our good. We may not understand it. We may, you know, we may not even agree because we don't understand, but all we need to do is be patient and trust him and look at our past experiences to see what he's seen, what he has seen us through and helped us through.
Right. That's exactly correct. Patience. And that's the key. A lot of people in our society, it's difficult for the average person to have patience. Because we're fast, we want fast food. We have microwaves. It's just crazy. You go into a local convenience store and you have a meal in a minute, 1 minute meals, and you're on the road. You're going to soccer games with the kids. You can take them. It's just nonstop. But patience and godliness is a virtue, mm-hmm. and God is the God of all eternity. He stands outside of eternity. You know, time is subject to God,
mm-hmm.
right?
That's right.
And we're locked within this time frame. You know, we're born and then we die. But God is outside of time, so time is subject to him. He could wrap it all up
right.
if he wants.
Right.
But we have to learn patience. The Bible says he put eternity in men's heart. So if he's put eternity in my heart, I need to work on that.
Right.
I need to learn patience. My soul is an eternal soul.
Mm-hmm.
So patience is within me. I just have to exercise it. But it's hard in this culture.
It is, especially like you say, Kevin, when everything is so instant. You know, back in my day, we didn't have computers. We didn't have cell phones. We had pay phones, but we couldn't talk to anybody when we were in the car, that's for sure. Or, you know, all these electronics and everything, they've got pros and cons. There's, in a way, it can be good. But like you say, what we need to practice is the principles of God that teaches us. And how do we get that? Through the Word. Through the Word.
Right.
You can't build your relationship with God and his Son, Jesus Christ, unless you're in the Word and you learn his characteristics and his attributes. You know, and once you do that, you build your relationship and pray. What I try to do is I try to start my day with the Lord in the Word and pray and end my day in the Lord. And anything in between, you know, I talk to him, I pray, you know, I try to include him in everything, and because of that, we're growing. But he does not expect perfection. He knows that we are, very vulnerable, and we make mistakes, and we sin, and do all kinds of stuff. But he loves us unconditionally, and by that I mean we need to do the same and be an example, like you said, Kevin, just like you said, and that you are a living example of his love.
Yeah, and you're right. We had a landline. We called it the landline, right? A telephone in the house, and then all of a sudden we have these little pagers, and all of a sudden we have a cell phone, and now we have a cell phone that's connected to our computers, and not only do we have a computer in our cell phone, now we have cameras on our cell phone, and it just everything wants our attention, and we lose track of who we are sometimes. Oh, by the way, I sent you an email. I was just wondering if you got that. If not, no biggie. We could talk about that later.
Okay.
Back to our story. But, yes, we're busy. We're a busy society. And, see, I've learned to slow down and to let speak through me. And when I reached the point in my life, this is about 3 years ago, I eliminated a lot of things that were XX baggage. I was listening to a lot of things. I was looking at a lot of things I shouldn't. I was saying a lot of things I shouldn't. And it burdened my spirit, and I didn't realize I was being oppressed. And then when I severed my ties with this excess baggage, God started speaking to my heart, And that's how I started writing.
Oh, wow. That is beautiful.
Big. And all of a sudden, I end up with this devotional book on the Book of Ruth. And so, but that happened through trials, tribulations in my life.
Right.
Sufferings. But also, I made it a point to eliminate excess baggage that had nothing to do with living an eternity with God.
Wow. Awesome. Awesome.
Yeah.
That is beautiful. I was going to ask you to tell us about your book, that you take us back to the 1980s, like you were saying. And you were being on MTV and TV, and can you tell us your story, or a story or two? Was it exciting? Was it meaningful to you?
Well, I started, I was skateboarding at one point in my life,
mm-hmm.
and I saw dancing on television in the early 80s, and I thought to myself, wow, this breakdancing is raw, it's street, and it reminded me of skateboarding, and I said, I'm going to learn how to do that if that's the last thing I do. I just started just asking questions. Have you guys heard about this breakdancing? Have you seen anyone breakdancing? Do you know of any breakdancers? And I met a couple of people in my town that were breakdancing already. See, I was slow. I was out of the loop. These guys been breakdancing maybe 6 months to a year.
Yeah.
And so I studied them. I studied their technique. And then I started dancing more and more. It turns out one day I was on Hollywood and Vine. Breakdancing
wow.
with a couple of friends of mine, because it was the place to go if you were a breakdancer.
Right.
And a guy walked up to me and said, hey, I'm a casting agent. You want to audition for a commercial? And I
wow.
said, yeah, sure, sure. A week later, I was in his office. I didn't have a head sheet or nothing. I was in his office. I auditioned for a national commercial. It was a Mountain
wow.
Dew commercial. They had auditions in New York City, Florida, and Los Angeles, and they had thousands of people audition for it, and I was the principal dancer on that Mountain Dew commercial, and they flew us to Kauai to
Ooh.
Shoot it. And that was the beginning of my TV run. I did seven national commercials. I was on Benson's show. I danced with Patti LaBelle, Sherelle. I just had a wonderful experience, and I was making money. But you know what? See, I still was a godly young man. I still knew Jesus as my Savior. He opened my eyes to that Hollywood scene and how they literally, it's high-class prostitution almost, and how these young women, even young men, they buy into a dream and they sell out to flesh. They'll sleep with someone.
True.
They'll be used someone, and then they're discarded for the next young person. I've seen things like that during my Hollywood career, and eventually God moved me out of that. Matter of fact, when I left Hollywood and doing all that, that's when I moved over to Liberia with Dr. Wright.
Oh, yeah, at that point. See, you were moved by God to do that, I believe.
Yes, yes, yes. God, it was just an unction from God, because my agent, I told him, I said, listen, I'm going to Africa to live with a medical doctor. And he said, you're what? Kevin, you know how many people would love to be in your shoes right now? You're getting jobs. You're working in a hard industry, and you're going to Africa? And I said, hey, man, I got to go, man. I met this man, and he's talking about God and Jesus.
Wow.
And I got to go, and I'm going to learn, and I'm going to help people. I'm sorry, I got to go. And I left, and God rewarded me, because he knew, he wanted to see where my heart was.
Right, right, exactly.
It was after godliness. It wasn't after, the Hollywood stint was to make money. I was traveling, right?
Yeah.
But my heart was for God. And when I went over to Liberia, God rewarded me.
Awesome. Awesome.
Yeah.
See, and he rewards us for obedience, just like it says in his word.
sure does. Yes.
Absolutely. Listen, later, you had mentioned you had one, but not one, but two major medical crises. Can you tell us a little bit about those experiences, Kevin?
Yes. You know, halfway through my career. Now, see, I started out as a registered nurse, and I went to nursing school. Now, during my nursing training, I was still skateboarding, and I was with a Christian skateboard team, and we traveled all over the world. And then when I started school, we just stayed within the United States. And so I would go to school Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. On Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, we may be in Arizona or Pennsylvania or Washington, and then I'd come home and go back to school.
Wow.
Well, I was in Pennsylvania in 1991 doing a skateboard outreach. It was a ministry through a local church, and I suffered what in the layman terms, which was a stroke on the right side of my body. I couldn't move it for about a half hour.
Yeah.
Then my strength came back, and I we finished the shows, and I came back to California and went to school. But I kept that in my mind, and I thought to talk to the lead doctor over the school, but I thought nothing of it. And then a week later, we were back in Pennsylvania doing this outreach, and it happened again. I was in my hotel room. And then my strength came back within a half hour. So when I came home, I told the school of nursing director what was going on. She took me to the doctor over us, and he did a CT scan on me, and there they found a brain tumor that was pressing on my brain, and it was bleeding. And it was causing, we call it in today's term, transient hemiparesis, where you'll have a paralysis and then it'll recover. And so we need to take this tumor out. So they took the tumor out. It was benign.
Thank God.
But it, yeah, but it took me a couple of months to regain my strength in my right upper body. Now, my right lower leg didn't fully recover, so I it's kind of weak. I kind of walk with a little limp, but other than that, I've been fine. And then 6 years later, I'm married, I have children, I've discovered a lump, a hard lump under my jaw. Now, at this point in my career, I'm a board-certified physician assistant, and I'm a nurse practitioner. And I was working in emergency medicine, and we know in our profession, any lump on your body is cancer until ruled out. And it took me about a couple of years to get this biopsied, and when I did, it came back as lymphoma.
Wow.
They diagnosed me with Hodgkin's lymphoma. And so I thought to myself, wow. But the Bible verse that rang in my soul was Psalms 119. It starts about verse 71 and it goes through verse 75. And it says essentially, it's been good that I have been afflicted, that I might keep your statutes. Your laws, O Lord, are more precious to me than gold and silver. And I know, O Lord, that you and your faithfulness have afflicted me. And so knowing that and really believing that, I just moved forward. I had radiation treatment that kind of exacerbated my already weak leg, but I've been cancer-free. So I thank God for these challenges and these difficulties in my life, because Job said it wonderful. You know what Job said? He said, man who is born of a woman is a few days upon this earth and full of trouble. And so it's true. Going to be difficulties in our lives. As long as you're breathing, you're going to have difficulties. But if God be for you, who could be against you?
That's right. Amen. Amen to that.
Amen.
so true. What a beautiful story. And I know those are very challenging. And a lot of times God will allow those things in our life, like you say, to help trust him more. And then you could turn around and help somebody else in their time of need.
Yeah, and you know what? You are exactly right. Right now, I'm working in what's called palliative care and hospice care. And I see 6 to 10 people a day.
Wow.
And they're the sickest of the sick.
Oh.
And people that have brain cancer,
mm-hmm.
Lymphomas, it just all kinds of varying diseases. And a lot of them will die within 6 months to a year.
Uh-huh.
And there's a few Christian families I go into their homes, and it's just a beautiful experience. And there's non-Christian families I go into their homes, and it's still a beautiful experience. And you know, God has put me there at this point in my life because I've gone through suffering. I can identify with them. And I come home to my wife, you know, after a day's work, and she goes, "How was work today?" And I look at her and I go, "How come?" I'll say, "Honey, I cried like a baby all day."
Yeah.
You know, but it's cleansing. And if you could cry, you know, Bible says, "Weep with those who weep." And so I've been placed there to help people transition out of this life to eternity.
Exactly.
And if I'm the only representation of Jesus Christ they'll see on this earth, I want to be a light.
Yeah.
And so God has put me there through the sufferings I've gone through.
Bless your heart. Well, that was definitely why you went into medical study, I would imagine, because of your own health experiences, correct?
Well, not completely correct, because I went into medicine because of Dr. Wright.
Oh, okay.
Remember, Wright was a medical missionary, and I thought to myself, you know what? I think I'm going to be a doctor. But then I thought, there's so many things I want to do with this life. I don't want to spend the time in medical school. And I had the opportunities, but when I found out about a nurse practitioner and a physician assistant, and I could do just about everything they do, especially when I was interested in emergency medicine, mm-hmm. then I've done urgent care, and now I'm doing hospice. And so I've covered the board. And so Dr. Wright and his godly character really was the thrust to me going into medicine. And I didn't realize how God would afflict me on multiple areas just to bring out a vessel to present to the death and the dying patients I see on a day-to-day basis.
Boy, that's really, I'm telling you, it's so inspiring and encouraging how God uses you in so many people's lives. And I must add that he definitely used you in my life. I mean, it was a divine appointment. I went to urgent care, and there was Kevin. And we met, and here he is on the show. So I'm so grateful for you coming. Now, tell us about your book, and tell us why you chose Ruth.
I'm a student of the Bible. I love the Bible. I read it. I read it. I listen to it. I go through the Bible. I listen to the Bible at least twice every year. I was reading through the Bible every year at one point. Then when my family started to multiply, it was just so difficult. But at least twice a year, I'll listen to the Bible. I'm always studying a particular book on my own. And so as a student of the Bible, I just want it in me. I want to dream about godliness. I want to sing songs of Zion while I'm in my REM sleep. And the point of my life where I discarded all this luggage I was carrying, that's when God spoke to me about the book of Ruth, because I started reading the book of Ruth at that time, and the book of Ruth opened up to me like it had never opened up to me before, and I had read through it multiple times. I've listened to it 200 times easy, but I've never saw it like I saw when God really started to reveal his book to me. And I thought to myself, I need to write this down, these beautiful revelations that I'm seeing in this book. So I just, every day I wake up and I start from verse 1 and I just march my way down, chapter 1, verse 1, chapter 2, verse 2, and just all down. And I came up with a book, or I'm sorry, a transcript.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Lord directed me to a Christian editor, and he said, hey, this is wonderful. Why don't we put it in a devotional book format? And I agreed with him, and this is what we have here. But you see, Ruth is a picture of you and me.
Right.
Because all of us who come to know Christ Jesus are likened unto Ruth. Because before we got saved, Ruth, who is a Moabitess, she lived in Moab. Well, before we got saved, spiritually speaking, we lived in Moab. And God sent a servant of his from the promised land across the Jordan River into Moab. And we saw the life of his servant, which was her mother-in-law,
right,
Naomi.
Mm-hmm.
And she subsequently comes back into the promises of God, and she marries Boaz. So it's a beautiful picture of you and I. And then there's multiple stories and allegories all through this book that I just wrote. And there's so much in this book. It's really a devotional commentary on the
mm-hmm.
book of Ruth. Yeah. And I encourage all of your listeners to pick it up.
Where can they get this book?
Well, they could pick it up at any Christian bookstore. You just mentioned The Gospel According to Ruth, A Season of Harvest, 121 Days Devotion by Kevin Foster. They could have that book in your hands about 3 or 4 days if it's not on their shelf. You could also go to Amazon, and you could buy it off of Amazon. The Gospel According to Ruth, A Season of Harvest, 121 Days Devotion. Now, on Amazon, you could also purchase an audiobook, and you also could do this. You could go to my webpage. It's called www.ruthgospel.com. www.ruthgospel.com. There's a link that you could push on it, and it'll take you right to the Amazon page, and you can purchase the book. But also on my webpage, you'll see a video clip of some commercials I've done in the past, some of the traveling around the world I've done. Let's see what else. You can read audio. You can listen to audio excerpts of the book. There's transcripts of the book. And there's a lot of things on the webpage. And if you scroll all the way down to the bottom of the first page, there's about 4 radio programs I've done around the United States. So there's a lot of content on my webpage.
That's beautiful. And I encourage all of your listeners not just to go ahead and buy the book and to go to his webpage, but I ask you to please tell your friends, your family, your coworkers, because it's important that we support one another, especially as Christians and sisters and brothers in the Lord. And again, that's www.ruthgospel.com, and you could go to Amazon, Amazon.com, and get his book, The Gospel According to Ruth, A Season of Harvest, 121 Days of Devotions. And I do believe it's in Kindle, isn't it?
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. I thank you. Yes. Format. Thank you very much.
Sure. So there's all different kinds of way you can access it. If you are blind, you can get the audio. And I wondered, have you ever had any thought of doing it in Braille for those who, you would use the audio, right? Yeah, that's right. That's right, the audio.
Yeah.
If they were blind. But, you know, Kevin, I'll tell you something. You're a very inspiring and amazing young man, and you have so many gifts from the Lord. You know, have you been aware of any of the gifts that God has given you that you use for His glory?
Well, yeah, I know I have a gift. I know one gift, and that's the gift of giving and the gift of teaching. And it seems like those are the gifts that are blatant. They're in my face. And I really love teaching the Bible. And I'm sorry, the gifts of helps. That's one I learned early in my life. The gifts of help was radiating through me, and I didn't realize it until someone pointed it out to me. And so those are some gifts. And now the working in my field now, this compassion for the sick and the people that are locked in their homes and they're unable to get out, and,
yeah.
and that compassionate heart is really building within my spirit. And so I don't know what God's going to do with that, but he's wonderful, whatever happens. And I was sharing with a Christian I met in her home. Her husband was very ill, and she was just thanking me for coming over and seeing her husband. But I told her, I said, listen, I'm kind of selfish because I really enjoy coming into your home and the way you accept me and your family, and you're speaking about the things of the Lord, and it really ministers to my spirit. And I take this, and I'm sharing it with other people I meet and with my family. So you're ministering to me, and I'm giving some type of medical aid to your husband, but it's reciprocal. I just want you to know that, sister. Mm-hmm. So to give this compassionate heart is being developed within me. I feel God's doing.
That's beautiful. That is beautiful. You know, I was kind of wondering where the idea for the comparison to a journey came from.
Well, because it's beautiful, and that now, as you read through my book, you realize that the same wilderness that the children of Israel passed through in order to get into the promised land, it's the same wilderness Naomi and Ruth passed through in order to get into the promised land. The same area of the Jordan River that the children of Israel passed through is the same area that Naomi and Ruth would have passed through to get into the promised land. And so we're all on this journey into the promises of God. When I got saved, I had no idea what was going on, but I knew I had to do it.
Right.
And now my life years down the road, and then looking back, and I realized, wow, this journey, ups and downs, ebbs and flows, and Ruth was on that journey. Remember, Ruth lost her husband. Naomi left the promises of God, the promised land, to live in Moab, and Naomi lost her husband. Naomi lost one of her sons. Naomi lost a second son. Naomi lost a daughter-in-law. So Naomi came back with just Ruth and their journey from Moab through the wilderness into the promised land was a journey of life. Because remember, Naomi, when she reached Bethlehem, the women said, is this Naomi? And Naomi said, don't call me no more Naomi. Call me Mara, for the hand of the Lord has been very bitter unto me. Mm-hmm. And remember, Naomi thought, I will never have any children out from my bowels. Remember? She told her daughters-in-law, why are you going to come back to the promised land with me? If I were to have children, are you going to wait for them? They'll be too old. You'll be too old. She's counted her womb as barren. And yet, in the book of Ruth, it says she laid her grandson in her bosom. There was a journey of life and death and life again. And we're all on that journey.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely, how beautiful. Now, in the Bible, and over the years that you've experienced, different passages and stories, what resonates with you? Which story in the Bible resonates? What can you really connect with for yourself?
It's all depending on what day of the week I wake up on. I cannot pick out one story that really jumps out because the whole book is awesome.
Right.
You know, one moment I could be in Belize on the waters of Belize and looking over the body of water in Belize and just going, wow, what a beautiful picture. And then, you know, the thoughts would come to me that the earth of the Lord and the fullness thereof, and he measured the ocean with the span of his hand, you know, that could jump out at me. Or I could be a really, really just what a solemn spirit. I could be in front of a person who may have 6 months to live, and the verse that'll jump out to me is Ecclesiastes 7, mm-hmm. where it says, it's better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of myrrh, for that's the end of all men, and the living will lay it in their hearts. And then it says, sorrow is better than laughter, for by the sadness of the heart, the countenance is made better. And so there's so many applications. There's so many words of encouragement. The Bible's endless. I don't have one book, one story. I'm just all over it.
Right.
I'm sorry. I wish I did, but I just you can't pin me down on that one.
That's okay. It's hard to do. It's hard to do. You know, I will say this though, that the Bible has so. I mean, it's got the answer to every question you may have. Every question. And I know when we're going through challenging times, are there specific passages or scriptures that help you get through the challenging time that has helped you, at different times?
Yes. The one of the Philippians 4 says, be anxious for nothing, but in all things through prayer and supplications with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding will comfort your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. That one, or when you're being assaulted by the wicked one, it could be anything. It could be a wicked thought that's bombarding your imagination. You could be diagnosed with some ailment, or a family member is going through something and it's hurting you. I think of Jeremiah where it says, no weapon formed against you will prosper, and every tongue that rises up against you, you will condemn.
Amen.
For this is the Lord, and my righteousness is of God, saith the Lord. You know, scriptures like that. Just keeping my foot on a solid rock. There's so many promises. And then you see the life of David. He was up and down. One minute he's singing, praising God. The next minute he's slicing down a Philistine.
Isn't that the truth? To think that David would slay Goliath. Isn't that an amazing story?
Yes. And see, you know as well as I do, there's multiple Goliaths.
Oh, yeah.
Walk. Right? Multiple Goliaths. I mean, big ones. And the reason David conquered him, because David was standing for righteousness. He said, how dare this uncircumcised Philistine speak against the people of God? You know, so he had a righteous judgment coming to him, and David took what? By his own sword and chopped his head off after he whacked him with that stone. Yeah. So that's it. We have Goliaths in our we have not only that, Goliath, but we also have just the enemies. You recall, I was studying the life of David, and he had more problems with the Philistines. Over and over and over again,
yeah.
He was dealing with the Philistines. You know, one moment he's running from Saul. After he defeats Saul, then he's having issues with his family. And during all that time, the Philistines are still attacking him. But during it all, he was able to write these beautiful psalms.
Isn't that the truth? You're not kidding. Boy, those are really encouraging, too. And, you know, Kevin, many of us, if we go through the Bible and really get into the Word, some of us, all of us in some kind of capacity, can relate to something that has happened to somebody else in the Bible. You know, Job had all kinds of boils and trials and all kinds of stuff. There are experiences that we can relate to.
That's right. You know, there's a beautiful verse in Proverbs. It says, I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, his yard was all grown over with thorns, and bushes has covered his ground, and his stone wall was broken down. And then I thought, and I considered it well. I looked upon it and received instructions. And so it tells us that we can look at the life of someone and we can receive instructions from that. You're absolutely right. The Bible says those things that were written aforetime were written for our example.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. A very good point. You're absolutely right. And listen, if somebody who's listening or they know somebody would want to enlist your services to teach, how could they get a hold of you? Would that be through your website?
No, I tell you, your listeners could contact you and you could contact me. We could do it that way.
Okay, that'll be fine. That'll be wonderful.
Yeah.
So you can contact Mama Joyce from Blog Talk Radio. You can go to angelofloveministry.com, which is my webpage also, and my email's there. I'd be glad to put you in touch with Kevin. He is a fantastic teacher. He is a wonderful, godly young man and loves the Lord, passionate to serve the Lord and to share the gospel and to teach. Once again, tell us where we can get your book and your webpage again.
My webpage is www.ruthgospel.com. www.ruthgospel.com. You could also find links on there of various radio programs. There's also a link that you could push, and it'll take you right to the Amazon page where you can purchase the devotional book. There's also a companion book, the Book of Poems, also on there. You could also go to any major bookstore and mention The Gospel According to Ruth, A Season of Harvest, 121 Days of Devotion, and they'll be able to get the book in your hands within about 3 days.
That is fantastic, Kevin. Wow. You know,
yeah.
I saved the towards the end of my show for prayer. And would you mind praying for my listeners, the people who listen, and anybody who might be experiencing some kind of a challenge as the Holy Spirit leads, and pray for my listeners tonight?
Yes, I will. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for Mama Joyce, and we thank you for her ministry, and we thank you for her heart to want to get the gospel out and to share hope to lost souls and to people that have just started on the journey to holiness. We thank you for her love for you, and we thank you for using her as an instrument for your glory. And now we thank you for all the people who tune into her faithfully, and we praise you for them, and we just ask that you'll touch their hearts, touch their spirits, minister to them in any way they need that ministering, Lord. Give them hope. in your word. May they trust your word, Father God. May they realize that they are not the only ones going through trials and tribulations, but it's appointed unto man. It's appointed unto us. The Bible tells us that don't think it strange concerning fiery trials, which are to try us. Strange has happened to us, right? So just trust Jesus for whatever you're going through. He's going to bring you through if you trust him, Lord. It may not come out the way you want, but it's the way God wants. So we thank you for her listeners. We ask you that you'll heal their bodies from any ailments, Lord, that they'll trust you for that. We ask you that you'll just give them a renewed spirit, that they'll love your word, that they'll study your word, that they'll meditate on your word, and that they'll live your word, Father God. We pray that there'll be a light unto a wicked and dark and perverse generation. We pray all these things for her listeners, Father God, and just bless them with a special blessing, being able just to tune in to hear encouragement, Lord, and we thank you for that. Proverbs tells us, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when the desire comes, it's a tree of life. And so we thank you for these promises, Lord, and we thank you once again for all the listeners who are listening in, and we thank you for Mama Joyce. In the holy name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen. What a beautiful prayer, brother, and what an honor it has been and a privilege to have you on the show tonight, and I look forward to having you maybe in the near future. You can share some more experiences and some wonderful stories and some more teaching, because you're just a wonderful teacher. And like I said, you can get a hold of the book at Amazon.com. And I want you to please tell your friends and your family and your coworkers the gospel according to Ruth, A Season of Harvest, 121 Days of Devotions, and also the website, check it out, www.ruthgospel.com. Thank you so much, Kevin, for coming to the show tonight. I'm just so blessed by having connected with you and meeting you, and you are a blessing in my life. And God uses you mightily in a position now where people are going to transition from this world to the next, and you are just being a real element of his unconditional love through the power of the Holy Spirit. And may God bless you and your family always, and your loved ones, and keep them safe and protected at all times. And I just plead the blood of Jesus and the power of God in and around your temple and that of your loved ones. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I accept that, sister. Thank you very much for having me on your show. It's been an honor.
Oh, thank you so much. And you can listen to this show anytime in the archives with the same link. And if you wanted to, Kevin, you could send the link out to anybody you want and put it on your webpage. They'd be glad to hear the radio show. And once again, I want to thank you very, very much for coming on the show tonight and being such a blessing to all my listeners and to me.
All right. Thank you very much. Bye-bye, listeners.
Bye-bye. God bless. Bye-bye, dear.
Bye.
So that's our show for tonight. I'm going to take us out with the song, Praise Him in the Storm.
Down and wiped our tears away, stepped in and saved the day. But once again I say amen, and it's still raining. As the thunder rolls, I barely hear you whisper through the rain, I'm the God who gives and takes away. trembled in the wind. You heard my cry to you and raised me up again. But my strength is almost gone. How can I carry on if I can't find you? But as the thunder God who gives and takes away, and I'll praise you in this storm, and I will lift my hands, for you are who you are, no matter where I am, and every tear I cry, you hold in your hand, you never left my side, and though my heart
we are